We're up to Yeshaya Perek Nun Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. And as we'll learn, this is actually one long chapter from, it's not the way the printers have set it up, but from this point till the end of Perek Nun Gimel is one subject. And therefore I would like to quickly learn through from this point till the end of Perek Nun Gimel, and then we'll come back and go through it slowly. As we've mentioned, this is one of the main chapters, if not the main chapter, in Tanakh that the missionaries use to prove that the one they believe in is the true Messiah, and we'll prove how that doesn't fit in at all into the Psukim. But let's first learn through it quickly, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss it in more depth. Perek Nun Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hine Yaskil Avdi. Rashi in the Radak, Pasha learned that these psukim are talking about Klal Yisrael. That when the Geula comes, the nations of the world will look and they'll be in amazement how the downtrodden nation, how Klal Yisrael that suffered, is really the true servant of Hashem. Hine Yaskil Avdi. Behold, my servant will be successful. Yorum, he'll be exalted. Venisa, and he'll become high. Vigova mode, and exceedingly lofty, very, very high. And there's a medrash, which we'll mention because the other Mephorshim do deal with this medrash. The medrash seems to say it is talking about Mashiach. The Targum says, Hayatzlach Avdi Mashicha. So the Targum does seem to learn that this is talking about Mashiach. The Medrash says, Hine Yaskil Avdi. My servant will be successful. Yorum, he'll be elevated. And we find the term Yorum by Avram Avinu. Harimosi Yodi El Hashem. So Yorum means he'll be greater than Avram Avinu. Venisa. And he'll be Nisa. He'll be exalted. And the term Nisa you find by Moshe Rabbeinu. Kasher Yisa ha'omenes ha'yonek. He'll be greater than Moshe. V'gova me'od. And you find the term V'gova to be high, exceedingly lofty. V'gova, you find that term by the actual malachim, by the angels. V'gova lehem, moir lehem, v'yir lehem. In the beginning of Yecheskel, that he'll be greater than even the Malachim, even greater than the angels. As Rashi in the Radak are learning, it's referring to Klal Yisrael in general. But Klal Yisrael, when the Geula comes, will be tremendously great. Yorum v'nisa v'gova ma'od. He'll be exalted and high and exceedingly lofty. Kashir Shamamu Alecha Rabin, just as the multitudes were astonished over you, the nations of the world were amazed at how low and downtrodden Klal Yisrael was. Kein Mishchas Meishmareyu, they said, Mishchas Meish, it's like destroyed from being a man, it's marred. Mareyu, his whole appearance. He doesn't look like a person. He's so beaten up and bruised, and his appearance doesn't look like a person. V'so'aro mibnei odom. And his visage doesn't seem to be human. To'ar is the visage, the contours of the face, how the shape and the form of the face. Mareyu is the coloring, the appearance, the shine, the... But he doesn't look like a person. Klal Yisrael has been so beaten up in Golus. Kein Yazeh Goyim Rabim. So too. Kein Yazeh Goyim Rabim. In the end, Mashiach, there's different explanations. One explanation is he'll have such a control, like he'll be able to... splatter their blood, or Ken Yazagoyim Rabim, he'll be able to prophesize and to tell over to the nations. Ken Yazagoyim Rabim, or he'll throw down their power. Ken Yazagoyim Rabim. In the future, Klal Yisrael will have control over the many nations. All of Yikpatsu Melochim Pihem. And about him, the kings will shut their mouth in amazement. They won't know what to say. Ki Asher Lo Supar Lahem Ro, for they will see what hadn't been told to them. They never heard of such greatness. They heard many things over the course of the centuries, but the greatness of Klal Yisrael, they never heard such a thing. Asher lo supar lahem ro, and they'll see things that they never heard about. Vasher lo shamu hisponanu, and things that they never heard hisponanu. Now all of a sudden they'll perceive and they'll become aware of a greatness and a grandeur that they never heard the likes of before. And as we mentioned, we're learning straight through these psukim, and we will return to discuss it more in depth. Perek Nun Gimel. Klal Yisrael is great at the end of days, and the goyim at the time of the geula, the redemption, are saying, Mihem lishmu asenu, who would believe what we had heard? What we're hearing now is just unbelievable. Uzroa Hashem al mini glossa. For whom has the arm of Hashem been revealed? We see now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing his greatness and his strength. And for who? For Klal Yisrael. We never imagined such a thing. For the Jewish people, Hashem cares for them and he shows his power. Vayal kayonek lefonov. Formerly he grew like a sapling. Like a yonek is the sapling, a young shoot that comes out. It could be a branch coming out from a tree. And we looked at Klal Yisrael like a branch coming out from a tree. That the only thing that they have in this world, the only success they have, is due to us. We, the nations of the world, the idolaters, whatever the Jewish people got is from us. We thought of them as vayal kayonek lefonov, like growing like a sapling. V'chashoresh me'eretz tziya, or a root coming from an eretz tziya, an arid land, where even if he does grow himself from the ground, but he doesn't have much to him. It's like the root growing from a dry piece of earth that doesn't get that much nourishment and doesn't grow well. Lo soar lo, he had neither the form. Below Hadar, certainly he didn't have any grandeur, any greatness to him. V'nireyu, we saw him. Velo mare, but he didn't have any type of appearance, v'nechmedeyu, that we could desire him. So we had the Jews amongst us, but we didn't see anything good about them. Or perhaps it's in a rhetorical questioning, a bit miya, v'nireyu velo mare. We saw him without any good appearance of Nechmedeyu. Do you think we could have desired him? We had no care for Klal Yisrael. Nivze, he was despised. Bachadal Ishim, and he was isolated from men. People just wanted to keep away from them. Ish Machovos, a man of pains. Viduach Oli, and accustomed to illness. Uchamaster Ponim Imenu. And he was the type that from whom we would hide our faces. We didn't even want to look at him. Nivze, he was despised. V'lo chashav nuhu. And we had no regard for him. Ochein, but in truth, now the goyim say, we realize it wasn't as we imagined. Ochein, but in truth, choloyenu hu nosa. It was our ills that he bore. Umachuvenu sivolom, and our pains That's what he was carrying. The Mitzuda says the Goyim are going to think it wasn't that Hashem, when they see the Geula comes and how much Hashem cares for the Jewish nation, they're going to realize it's not that Hashem hated us or didn't care for us. But no, the reason Klal Yisrael suffered was that they were to blame, because the Goyim also have free will, they can decide what to do with their life, and they decided to cause us suffering, and the Goyim are going to have remorse, and they're going to say, you know what? What Klal Yisrael suffered was not what Hashem had planned. It was our decision. It's our fault. Achin chol yenu hu nasa. He was bearing our ills and our pains. Vanachnu chashavnuhu. But we had regarded him, nogua, as a person who's diseased. Muka Elohim, stricken by God, umuuna, and afflicted. That's the way we viewed him. And then they'll think, you know what, maybe it wasn't that it was our fault that we punished and we hurt Klal Yisrael. The other alternative is, v'hu mecholol mipesha'enu. He was pained because of our rebellious sins. Meduka. He was oppressed, he was crushed, me'avono seinu, through our iniquities. It could be it was Hashem's decision, but the world was so bad, and somebody had to accept the punishment and the responsibility for the way the world is behaving. And therefore it's as if Hashem decided Klal Yisrael will suffer because of the evil of the nations. So the way the Mitzudas learns, the Goyim are not going to be sure. Either their suffering was just our free will, we were oppressing the Jews, or it could be it was Hashem's decision as a kapara, as a forgiveness for the rest of the world. Musar shalomeinu olav. The chastisement, the musar, the suffering, the correction, the rebuke, Shalomeinu, to bring us peace, a love, was on him. In order for the world to have good, this is what the nations are going to say. And again, we'll discuss this, perhaps this point we'll go into next week. But Musa, Shalomeinu, a love, they're going to say, our peace somehow needed some type of kapara, and the Jews suffered in order that the rest of the world should have good. Uvachavuroso nir polonu. And through his wounds, we were healed. Kulonu katzon toinu. We've all strayed like sheep. We strayed away from serving Hashem. Originally, the nations of the world did realize there was one omnipotent creator who's able, who knows everything and can do everything. And then we started straying after the idols. And very often when the sheep stray, they all at least go off the road and follow each other into the field. But we were even worse than that. We are worse than the straying sheep. Ish l'darko paninu. Each of us turned his own way. We scattered. Everyone led his own life without care to serve Hashem. V'Hashem hifkia bo. And Hashem afflicted upon him Eis avon kulonu, the iniquity, the guilt of all of us. Nigas, he was persecuted, vahunane, and afflicted, below yiftach piv, and he didn't open his mouth. Nigas, the Mefarshim say, could be monetarily. There were special taxes on the Jews. There was special, you know, that this is already, as I say, we haven't had such a kind government, a malchus shel chesed, like in America. But if you even think in America, if the Jews have their own school system, they have our own yeshivas and Beis Yaakovs, and yet we have to pay taxes for the public schools, which is not intended for us to use. And this is in the most benevolent country that we've ever lived in, and as good as things are, And throughout the Gaulus, things were much, much worse. There were special taxes just on the Jews, and they were robbed and pillaged and nigas monetarily. They've been oppressed. And physically, v'hu nana, Klal Yisrael's been afflicted. Lo yiftach piv. And somehow the Jews tolerated it all through Gaulus. Kasela tevach yuvol, like a sheep being led to the slaughter. That's the comparison with the physical of affliction. It's like the sheep that's taken out to be killed. And monetarily, it's ucherochel, ifne gozezeho, like the ewe, the female sheep that is being taken to be shorn. And like the rochel, ifne gozezeho, before the shearer's nelama, that sheep is silent. And she knows all that rich wool that keeps her so comfortable and warm is going to be cut off for the benefit of the owners. And so too, Klal Yisrael had all of their comforts taken from them, and they were robbed. V'lo yiftach piv. And Klal Yisrael, he didn't open his mouth. He took it all. Me'otzer u'mimishpot lukach. Me'otzer, he was locked up, he was confined. Umi mishpat, and then he was judged. Lukach, and he was taken out for the punishment. To be killed, to have the wool shorn off. Vestoru mi yisocheach. And what he tolerated in his generation, who could even tell about it? Who would be able to describe in detail all of the suffering that Klal Yisrael has? And we've mentioned this, as with in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov went to meet Esav, and he sent the presents. So it says, "V'revach tosimu bein eder uvein eder." There's a space between one present, between one flock of animals, and the next flock. And Chazal saw from there that whatever suffering there has to be an interval, there has to be a break. But the break is always in a particular country. In one century it's difficult in Europe, and perhaps in the next century it was better. And another time it was good in Spain, another time it wasn't. And the same with Morocco and all the other nations, all the other places in the world where we have been. But there's always problems that Klal Yisrael is going through. In one moment it might be good here in America at the time, but there are other places in the world where the Jews are suffering terribly. And if you look at the Klal Yisrael v'esdoro mi yisocheach, you can pick your generation, but there's always been suffering that Klal Yisrael has gone through. Ki nigzar me'eretz chayim. What he's gone through has literally killed him. Ki nigzar me'eretz chayim. He's been removed from the land of the living. And others learn the land of the living means Eretz Yisrael. We've been sent into Golis. And once we left Eretz Yisrael, the problems haven't stopped. The suffering's been constant. Mi pesha ami. And the nations are going to say, from the pesha ami, from my people's sin, negalomo, the affliction has come onto him, onto Klal Yisrael. Lomo onto them. Vayitenis rishoyim kivro. He submitted himself to the grave like wicked men. He was killed and he was humiliated, and he knew that even after his death he would be buried in the potter's field, to be buried with the wicked, with the lowest of society. Bes Asher Bemosov, he submitted himself to the wealthy Bemosov, whichever type of death. The rich aristocrats subjected the poor Jew to whatever it was they were willing to take. But they wouldn't give up their belief in Hashem. And it was all alochamas also. It was for committing no crime, v'lomir mabafiv, and with no deceit in his mouth. It wasn't anything that he said, no deceit or trickery, no robbery, no crime, just the fact that he was a Jew. Vashem Chofetz. Now the Novi responds. This is what the goyim are going to think. Vashem chofetz dako. Hashem desired dako to crush him, to oppress Klal Yisrael. Hecheli. And he afflicted him. The Navi says, don't think it was necessarily that you were able to hurt Klal Yisrael if Hashem didn't allow it. Don't think that Klal Yisrael suffered because of your sins. The truth is, Hashem chofetz dako. Hashem wanted to oppress Klal Yisrael hecheli and afflict him, and it was a test. Is Klal Yisrael going to be able to serve Hashem in the harshest of times? Im tosim osam osham nafsho. How is Klal Yisrael going to react? If his soul would acknowledge guilt, would he, Klal Yisrael, accept it and say, you know, whatever's going wrong, it's my fault, because I haven't served Hashem well enough? If Klal Yisrael can go through suffering and accept it as the will of Hashem, Yireh Zerah, he'll see offspring. Yarich Yamin, he'll live long days. V'cheifetz Hashem b'yodo yitzloch, and the desire of Hashem will succeed in his hand. That's what the Novi says. May Amal Nafsho, he'll see the Amal, the toil, what he feels is a worthless, purposeless exertion. Now all of a sudden, from May Amal Nafsho, the distress that he had, all that toil, Yira, now he'll see what the purpose was. Yisba, and he'll be satisfied. Bidaita, with his knowledge, Yatzik Tzadik. Avdi, my servant, Yatzik Tzadik, will vindicate the righteous one. The Tzadik here is Hashem. He'll say, Yatzik Tzadik, the righteous one, Hashem, is righteous. Like we say in Siddur Kadin, Hatzur Tamim Paolo, he shouldn't have to say it, but the occasion shouldn't arise that necessitates it. But Hatzur Tamim Paolo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complete, whatever he does is right. Yasti Tzadik Avdi, my servant will vindicate and say that Hashem is correct. L'Rabim, and he'll say it in front and against the multitudes. The whole world will be there mocking Klal Yisrael, ask them why they're going through it, and they'll say, Hashem is right. Whatever it is, Hashem is right. Vavono som hu yisbol, and their iniquities, their avon, hu yisbol, he will carry. Lochein, therefore, achalik lo varabim, because they feel that way, I'll assign him a portion from the multitudes. What all the world, what all the goodness in the world, Klal Yisrael will get the portion. V'esatzumim yichalik sholol, and with the mighty he'll divide the spoils. Tachas asher hera lamoves nafsho, in return for having poured out his soul for death. V'esposhim nimno, and he was counted among the wicked. Besides the physical suffering, there's the slanderous accusations that the Jews are terrible and everything that's bad that's said about them. Vesposhim nimna, he went through an existence where the world called him the worst. He was counted among the wicked. Vahu chet rabim nosa, but he bore the sin of the multitudes. Vlaposhim yafgiya, and he, one explanation, Vlaposhim yafgiya, to those who are poshim, the guilty ones, the real sinners, yafgiya, Klal Yisrael had to beg them. It's like, you imagine the Jew has to beg the Nazi to help him out. Yimach Shemoy, the Nazi. Vlaposhim yafgiya, he has to beg and implore that the poshim should help them. That was how degraded we were in the exile. Others learned Vlaposhim yafgiya, Klal Yisrael somehow went through their own suffering, but as great as their suffering was, they prayed for others. and the others they prayed for were indeed poshim, and yet Klal Yisrael cared for everyone. That's the end of this perek. Going back to the beginning, as I say, there are very few shiurim that I would say require parental guidance, but the shiur that I would like to discuss now is actually, this is the main chapter in Tanakh that the missionaries use. It wasn't long ago, maybe a year or two ago, I recall there were the buses running in New York, and they said, you know, Isaiah 53, you know, which is the perek we just learned. And as Rashi and the Radak learn, this perek is referring to Klal Yisrael. And the truth is, it seems to be referring to Klal Yisrael. If we look at the pasuk right before this, and perek Nun Beis, again, we're taking Perek Nun Beis from Pasuk Yud Gimel through Perek Nun Gimel. But in Perek Nun Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, it talked about Klal Yisrael leaving the Golus. Kilo b'chipozon teitzeyu. You won't be leaving b'chipozon in chaos. Uvi menusa lo seilechun. You won't be going in flight. Ki holich lifneichem Hashem, Hashem is going before you, umasivchem elokei Yisrael, and the God of Israel is gathering you in. It's talking about the Jewish nation, right before this. And the next perek that we're learning, in perek Nun Dalid, it says, Roni akora lo yoloda, the barren nation, or Yerushalayim, will sing out, Yerushalayim, that's as if it had no children. It's empty. Klal Yisrael's gone. It's going to sing out when the Geula comes. The Pesukim are talking about the nation. However, it does say, Hine Yaskil Avdi, my servant will become successful. And the missionaries learn that these Pesukim are all talking about their Savior that they believe in, what's referred to as Yeshu Hanotri, the one they worship and they believe in, who was killed toward the end of the second Beis Hamikdash. What's interesting is, to learn this subject, it's not a recent topic, we don't have to find an author who discusses it from the 21st century or the 20th century. It's discussed way back. And Abar Benel discusses this in detail. And I would like to today go through what Abar Benel says. And again, hopefully next week we'll again discuss this perek more in depth. Obviously, it's interesting, but the Goyim, the non-Jews, do seem to pick up on certain chazal, certain statements of Chachamim, and they use that for their own purposes. We mentioned before, Hine Yaskil Avdi, that my servant will be successful, Yorum, there's a Chazal who'll be greater than Avram, Benisa will be greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, Vigova Ma'od will be greater than the angels, Klal Yisrael will be the greatest. They refer this, they understand this referring to their Messiah, who lived and was killed almost 2,000 years ago, or more than 2,000 years ago. They understand that as referring to him. The Pusik said, Nagua, that the one we're talking about in this area of Novi, Nagua, is someone who has been diseased, Muka Elohim, stricken by God, Umauna, afflicted. The Novi had said, Vavonosam hu yisbol, he like bears their sins, Chet Rabim Nosa, he carries their chatoim. And they understand it, that when their Messiah died, he was able that as Abar Benel discusses, which as I say is fascinating by the fact that he lived in the 1400s, He lived in the 1400s and he was very prominent. He was the treasurer for the King of Spain, Ferdinand and Isabella. He was their treasurer. And when the Spanish Inquisition came, he was told that he could remain. All the Jews are sent out of the country. He has special permission to stay. But he said if the Jews are leaving, he's going to leave with them. He's one with them. And it was on Tisha B'Av in 1492 that the final date was that the Jews had to be out of the country. But Abarbanel writes about this. He dealt with the Christians, and he had debates, and he had to defend the Jewish faith. So this same chapter is discussed by him 500 years ago. And he says as follows. They believe that after Adam Harishon, after Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, and he went against what Hashem decreed, everyone was determined to go to Gehenna. Everyone's got to suffer forever. If they believe in their Messiah, they'll be saved. And they understand their Messiah was the one who was suffering, and he's the one who carries the sins of the multitude, and if somebody believes in him, he'll be saved. Now, Barbanel points out that many reasons why this can't be. To mention some of them. First of all, where does it ever say that when Adam Harishon ate from the forbidden fruit, from the Eitz Hadas, he was destined, he was punished to be in Gehenna? It says that he was driven out of Gan Eden, and it says clearly in the Torah what the punishments were. B'zeyas apecha toch alechem, he'd have to work to have his food, and the curses are clearly said in the Psukim. It doesn't say anywhere he'll go to Gehenna, and he'll stay there forever. And when the Christians were asked that question, they answered, yeah, but it says, b'yom acholchem imenu mos tamus. When you eat from the Eitz Hadas, mos tamus, which they understand, die and he'll die again. He'll physically die, he'll spiritually die. Mos tamus means he'll be he'll be forever cursed in Gehenna. But that's not what mos tamus means. In fact, you find after the incident of the sin of David and Bathsheba, the Novi portrays it as a sin. Of course, Chazal say it's David had his reasons for doing it, but Nathan said to David, he said, "Habein hayilo lecha mos tamus." The child that is born from David and Bathsheba, that child mos tamus will certainly die, and the child was born and the child died. But there was no reason why the child should get Gehenna. In other words, could be the child wouldn't live on this world, and that's a punishment for the parents, that David had a child and the child died. But why should the child be in Gehenna? Most Talmud doesn't mean to be in Gehenna. We even had in Chumash, when Yitzchak was in the land with Avimelech, Melech Gror, Avimelech proclaimed, Hanogea b'ish hazeh v'ishto, anybody who touches Yitzchak or Rivka, most yumos, he will certainly die. What did Avimelech mean when he said he'll certainly die? Most yumos means he'll certainly die. Not that he'll die and he'll die in Gehenna. Avimelech, the king, can't determine what happens to one's soul. So most yumos doesn't mean anything to die in Gehenna. It's like the words, ochol tochal, zochar tizkar, you'll surely do something, is the verb is repeated. Most tamus, to stress that it certainly will happen. And Adam Harishon certainly physically died as a punishment of eating from the Eitz Hadas. But it has nothing to do with Gehenna. Number one. Number two, even if you want to say that Adam is punished, but why should all of his descendants have Gehenna? Everybody for the rest of humanity, everyone should be in Gehenna. Why should they be in Gehenna? Because Adam made a mistake. And even if you want to say that when somebody ate, once Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, it's already a punishment, everything that comes from him. Okay, the body, of a person comes from his father and mother. But what gives it life, the neshama, what gives that flesh and bones a life to it, that's from Hashem. That's from God. That's not from his parents. So why is the neshama, after the person has passed away and the body is separated, why should the soul that came from God be in Gehenna? It doesn't make sense. Number three, even if you would want to say such a thing, that there was a punishment in Gehenna and the punishment was on his descendants, is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no other way of forgiving a sin? That he has to somehow, God has to come down in a physical form, and he's got to accept Yisurim on himself? And as they believe that their Savior was God, it was himself in a human form, and he suffered for them. What, Hashem can't forgive them? Hashem has to, like, suffer himself? And if you want to say that somebody of mankind has to suffer as an atonement for mankind, so it should be a Navi, it should be a Chacham, it should be somebody who's willing to give his life for the betterment of society. It can't be God, like Chas V'Shalom Kaviyachol, in a human form, that God is taking punishment as an atonement for man. It doesn't seem to be a rational argument. It's not possible. So thinking through it, logically, it doesn't seem to understand this whole idea that a Mashiach should suffer, that God should be suffering for us, and that should be an atonement and bring us out of Gehenna. The whole theology doesn't make much sense. And looking at the psukim, trying to read it into the pasuk, Hine yaskil avdi, in Perek Nunbeis pasuk Yud Gimel, Hine yaskil avdi, the pasuk says, behold, yaskil avdi, my servant will succeed. What does that mean? Now he's not yet successful. If this person is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Hashem, so Hashem is perfect always. HaYehovah V'yiyeh, Hashem is unchanging. It's not like Hashem needs a greater success. What does it mean? Hinei yaskil. He will be successful. And if you mean that, what does that mean? And if you mean in this human form he'll be successful, again, if you mean the human part of it, the fact that it seems to be flesh and blood, there was no success in his human form. The human form was killed. That was the end. And the soul, well, the soul, if the soul is Hashem, is God, so that's not like it will be successful. And what's the term Avdi, my servant? Is it God or is it not God? Well, what's the servant? If you mean the body, but the body is not called the servant to the soul. And what does it mean, Yaskil, he'll be successful, Yoram, he'll be elevated, exalted, the Nisa, the Gov HaMa'od, he'll be lofty, and he'll be so high up, he'll be so great. The body certainly didn't have any success. It was killed. And if you're going again on the nefesh, so the soul is not the eved, according, is not the servant. So the pasuk doesn't seem to fit in. Yoram v'nisa v'gova, again, will be elevated and exalted. The body was degraded and killed. And as far as the godly part, it was always that way. Mush, and then even the next pasuk, the multitudes are shomamu, they're astonished over you. They ken mishchas meish mareyu, and they say that his appearance is too marred to be a man. V'saro mi b'nei adam, his visage doesn't seem to be human. What does that mean? The way they believe it, Yeshu was a handsome man. He didn't look terrible when he was living. And if you mean when he was killed, well, anybody when he's killed, when he dies, his appearance changes and decomposes and he doesn't look good. That's normal. That's everyone's like that. So what is this description of him appearing so suffering? And Achen Cholayenu Hu Nasa, it says he carries our sicknesses, and Machoveinu Svolam, and our pains, he tolerates. The nefashos of tzaddikim, when somebody's suffering in Gehenna, it's not called a sickness, it's not called a pain, it's a suffering of the soul. It's not described as this physical ailment, that our physical ailments he's removing from us. And he's not carrying them, because you're not going to say that Hashem is in Gehenna, that God is in Gehenna. Whatever, in other words, he's taking out the souls from Gehenna because what? The suffering of Gehenna he took on himself. I mean, God's not in Gehenna. And if it means in this world, well, the suffering of this world is not the suffering in the next world. And if it means at the point of death he took on this suffering, well, nobody was healed at the moment that he was killed. So when he was killed and he had his suffering, it wasn't like we all of a sudden suffering was removed from anyone else. Mipishi ami pesha ami negalomo, the nations of the world are going to say, from the sins of my people negalomo, that's what caused their affliction. The word lomo is in the plural. It seems that we're talking about a whole nation. We're talking about Klal Yisrael as a nation. Lomo is in the plural, even though the Christians have changed the translation that he suffered. But the word in the Lashon HaKodesh, lomo, means to them. Va'itin es Rishoyim Kivro, his grave was placed with the wicked. Klal Yisrael were willing to die, knowing that even after death, very often their bodies were destroyed and eaten by the dogs, and they went through any suffering for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if the way they understand it, that the point is that he was killed, so it should say, Vayitin es Rishoyim Moso. In other words, he allowed the wicked, which they understand as the Jewish people, he allowed the Jews killed him, is what they say, or they have said, but that's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says he was buried together with the Rishoyim. And Vashem Chofetz Dako Hechli, Hashem wanted to crush his servant, make him sick, in Tosim Asham Nafsho, if he accepts the guilt on himself. And then the punishment is Yirezera Yarich Yomim. He'll have children, he'll have a long life, as long as he accepts the suffering. Yeah, but that certainly didn't happen to him. I don't know if he accepted the suffering or not. He was killed for what? For spreading whatever his teachings. But he didn't have children. He died young. And he certainly didn't have a long life. And the fact that he had disciples and had Talmidim, but you don't find that Talmidim are called Zera. They're called Bonim, they're called children, but they're not called the Zera, the offspring. Lachin achalik lo barabim, therefore I'll give him a portion among the multitudes. If it means that the rabim, the multitudes, will accept his religion, it's not simply what the pasuk seems to mean, but certainly v'satzumim yichalik sholol, he'll divide the spoils. There was no war, there was no spoils that he got. I say I've been taking fragments of the psukim that we learned here, and it doesn't seem to be able to fit with Yeshua, with the Messiah that they believe in. Rashi and the Radak learn it's going on Klal Yisrael. There are other opinions which we'll discuss next week in Mirtz Hashem. The Targum does say, Hayatzlach Avdi Mashiach, my servant the Mashiach will be successful. But as Abar Vanel explains, Lefi the Targum, it's only that one pasuk is on Mashiach. That Mashiach himself will be greater than Avram and Moshe and the Malachim. But the continuation of the psukim, Kasher Shamamu Alecha Rabim, that the multitudes are in wonderment about him, that already is going on the nation of Klal Yisrael. And we'll continue this discussion, Amir Tzashem, next week.